God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking again today about Amy Carmichael's poetry. Not just talking about it, reading Amy Carmichael's poetry. And I think that as you listen, if you listen carefully to the words and don't just dismiss them as mere poetry, but they touch the deepest springs of our spiritual life, I believe. And there's something for everybody in this book, every single situation that any human being can ever endure or imagine, Amy Carmichael seems to have written about, and therefore has been a very great spiritual mentor in my life, although, of course, I never met her. She was an Irish missionary who went to India back in the 1890s, and she died in 1950 or 51, I always forget. We're being told today that we should all have a sense of our own self-worth. If we work on that, it's going to be a full-time job, I think, for the rest of our lives, so I wouldn't recommend it. But in our saner moments, if we really know ourselves, we all have a sense of utter worthlessness, which is a whole lot closer to the truth. Jesus did not die for you and me because we were worth dying for. He died for us because He loved us. And He loves us with an everlasting love. He didn't die because we are worthy, but we are worthy in His sight now because He died for us. In other words, He redeemed us from destruction. He redeemed us from ourselves. So when pride creeps in, it would be a good idea to read Amy Carmichael's poem entitled Moss, M-O-S-S. We're too high. Lord Jesus, we implore Thee, make of us something like the low green moss that vaunteth not, a quiet thing before Thee. Cool for Thy feet, sore wounded on the cross. Like low green moss, and yet our thoughts are thronging, running to meet Thee, all alight, afire. Thirsty the soul that burneth in love longing, fountain and fire art Thou, and heart's desire. Therefore we come, Thy righteousness our cover, Thy precious blood our one, our only plea. Therefore we come, O Savior, Master, Lover, to whom, Lord, could we come save unto Thee? And you know, while I was reading that poem, I was thinking, there's a man rolling down the highway, driving his tractor trailer. And he's thinking to himself, well, boy, I really like that Elizabeth Elliott. She's got a lot of good stuff to say, but when she gets onto that poetry stuff, I'm lost. And he may not be the only one that feels that way. Poetry, of course, has to be read and reread and reread. But I'm sure that you can pick out little gems even from one or two lines of some of these poems. And if you had a little trouble understanding the metaphor of the moss, we should be willing to be walked on, I think, is what she's saying, and make us willing even to be a quiet thing before God, cool for His feet, sore wounded on the cross. Now that, of course, is poetic license. We can't do that literally. But the last stanza, I think, is pretty comprehensible to most of us. Therefore we come, Thy righteousness our cover, Thy precious blood our one, our only plea. Therefore we come, O Savior, Master, Lover, to whom, Lord, could we come save unto Thee? And then on the very next page, there's a poem that comes from Revelation 8, verse 3, I wonder how many of you have thought about the fact that there's an angel with a golden censer standing by the altar in heaven. This is what Revelation 8:3 says. Another angel who had a golden censer, the censer is the implement with which a candle is lit. He had a golden censer, and he came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. Amy Carmichael writes this poem called The Golden Censer. Eternal love, we have no good to bring thee, no single good of all our hands have wrought. No worthy music have we found to sing thee, no jeweled word, no quick upsoaring thought. And yet we come, and when our faith would falter, show us, O Lord, the quiet place of prayer, the golden censer and the golden altar, and the great angel waiting for us there. Is someone asking, does God really hear my prayers? Yes, the Bible tells us very emphatically he does. When he says no to our prayers, we must not say, God does not hear my prayers. He heard them. As a young mother or father of a tiny little child hears the child's request of 4 ice cream cones, but the answer is no. And yet we come, and when our faith would falter, show us, O love, the quiet place of prayer, the golden censer and the golden altar and the great angel waiting for us there. The angel is God's servant in charge of the prayers of the saints that rise like incense to God, sweet-smelling incense. The next verse says, the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. And then in verse 5, it says, the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and hurled it on the earth, and there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. So that angel is charged with some very stiff responsibilities. Don't forget, your prayers are heard. And here's the poem that I gave to the students at the Urbana Convention in December of 1996. I was given 6 minutes to talk about missions. There were 19,000 students there. And I remembered when I was a student in college, and Jim Elliott and I were members of a missions team that went to another Christian college to encourage those students to consider the career of foreign missionary work. Jim was the preacher that day. There were several of us that had other duties, and that was the day that Jim was going to preach to those students. He was, of course, only a junior in college himself, 20 years old. But I'll never forget that he ended with this prayer by Amy Carmichael, one of the prayers that he had memorized. And so this is the one that I gave to those students at Urbana in December of 1996. Hast thou no scar, no hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. Hast thou no scar? Hast thou no wound? Yet I was wounded by the archers, spent, leaned me against a tree to die, and rent by ravening beasts that compassed me. I swooned. Hast thou no wound? No wound? No scar? Yet as the master shall the servant be, and pierced are the feet that follow me. But thine are whole. Can he have followed far who has no wound or scar? And speaking of Jim Elliott, the last poem that I'm going to read today is one that the Lord brought to my mind when I was struggling over the fact that it didn't look to me as though Jim Elliot and I would ever be married. I thought I was going to Africa, he was going to South America. And we had no commitment to each other. We didn't call it a relationship. We had given ourselves totally to God, and each of us had laid the other one on the altar. And Amy Carmichael's prayer became so powerful in my life then. And shall I pray thee change thy will, my Father, until it be according unto mine? But no, Lord, no, that never shall be. Rather, I pray thee blend my human will with thine. I pray thee hush the hurrying, eager longing. I pray thee soothe the pangs of keen desire. See in my quiet places wishes thronging. Forbid them, Lord, purge, though it be with fire, and work in me to will and do thy pleasure. Let all within me, peaceful, reconciled, tarry content, my well-beloved's leisure, at last, even as a weaned child. Many of you know that Jim Elliot did become my husband. The marriage didn't last very long, 27 months, and he was killed in Ecuador along with four other missionaries. This prayer came to me again at that time. Work in me to will and do thy pleasure. Let all within me peaceful, reconciled, tarry content my well-beloved's leisure. At last, even as a weaned child.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.